this song really, it goes to the center of what we believe in.
I thought some prayers, and we are always praying. I thought some prayers, listen to what you say. Seek a higher consciousness, a state of peacefulness. Know that God is always there. In every thought becomes a prayer. Our thoughts are prayers, the tools we create with. Our thoughts are prayers that spirit resonates with. Seek a higher consciousness, a state of peacefulness, and know that God is always there.
The day I took home. This weight was unacceptable. And I worked on him, and of course, he was like, no, we're not doing that. And after, you know, teenagers are pretty good at working you down, aren't they? And so after constant, every meal, every drive to the store, when I would explain my case, he finally caved, to my delight. And he built a small little dark room in the corner of our garage, which I spent almost every night in. After school, I would take my pictures, I'd run to the dark room, and that was my happy place. That was where magic happened. I want to talk to you a little bit about the photography process, because we're going to get into how that relates to what Charles had talked about. So in this little magic dark room that I had, there was a little tiny red light, just enough to where you could kind of see what you were doing. And the reason it had to be dark is that you have this photo paper that once it's exposed to light, then it's ruined. Because when it's exposed to light is what captures, it turns black whenever, you know. This was black and white. So you develop your film, and then you wait for that to dry. And then you have this little machine that you put the film in. You have a light, and the light goes through the film, and then the image is on the paper. It's burned on to the paper. And then you take this paper that still has nothing on it, you can't see it yet, and you have these trays that you've laid out. One is a developer, one is what they call a stop bath or a fixer, and then the other is your rinse. Pardon me just a minute, I took some antihistamines today and my mouth gets so dry. So I would take the film and I would put that image on that paper, but I really couldn't see it yet. And then this is when the magic happened. This is why I love the dark room. You take that blank piece of paper, stick it in the developer, you just kind of swish it around, and all of a sudden you'd see some gray come in, and then it'd get darker, and all of a sudden you can see your picture. That was magic. But you had to hurry up, because once you saw it and it was right, you had to put it in the stop bath, because you didn't want to overdevelop it, but you didn't want to rush it either, because you didn't want to underdevelop it. So there was a real technique involved there. And then you would rinse it, and then, like you would see in some of these CSI movies, you had a place where you would hang your pictures to dry. Now, once I got my dark room, then the worst part of the whole thing was now I had to wait for the pictures to dry, which unfortunately they would curl up a little bit. So that Encyclopedia Britannica, I think is what it was called, that my parents had bought me because we didn't have internet, I had a good use for that. I would stick my pictures in between the books so they would flatten out. That was about how much I used those things. But I knew that I had hit the big time and I was a true photographer when I had saved enough of my allowance to buy me a photography picture dryer. Wow. Yeah, that was big. You open it up, you put your pictures on there, you squeegee them off, you shut the deal, you turn the light on, and it warms the plate, and all of a sudden your pictures are dry, and there you are. So I was big time. Boy, did I love going to school with my pictures. I got to be real popular because the kids would come to me and go, oh, let me see my picture. Be sure to mix it in your book. So, big stuff. But despite all of those steps that I just talked to you about, it was even more involved at the time of Charles Fillmore when he wrote this particular part that I'm going to read to you in a minute. Because you've probably seen these in antique stores, or maybe even some of your relatives have them. In his time, they used what they call tintypes. And they were little, thin, tin, you know, flat things that instead of photo paper, they would expose that and develop those. And so if you've watched any of the old westerns or something where they have the big stand with the big box and the guy gets under the drape and he's taking pictures, well, that's what pictures were like when Charles wrote this. when he was talking about law of manifestation. And I'm going to read that in just a second. But we had a visitor at our church a few weeks ago, and it was such a jewel, I wanted to share it with you. She talked about the law of manifestation, and she said it's really easy to remember. Three words that rhyme: conceive, believe, receive. If you got that, you've got the law of manifestation. Conceive it, believe it, receive it. Okay, so back to Charles and what he ultimately said that inspired this lesson. So I'm going to read what he said in his prosperity book. Our soul development is often compared to the development of a photographic plate. The light puts the image on the sensitive plate in the first place. Then there is an image on the plate, but it is invisible and unmanifest until it goes through a development process. Infinite mind, or if you choose to say God, has imaged all its attributes in the soul of every man, in the soul of every man. But man must develop this image into the clear picture with perfect faith in the law of manifestation. The photographer works in the darkroom, putting the plate through many processes. Sometimes the developer may make an error in some of the operations, and the plate will come out with an imperfect image. So the human manifestation sometimes seems distorted, but the image of perfection imprinted by creative mind is there. This perfect image is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's from Colossians 1:27. I've always been a visual person. I've been a visual learner. I think one of the reasons I fell in love with photography is that it is a visual experience. And when I read this part where he writes about the imprinting process to explain what being made in the image of God looks like, it just, for the first time, it made sense to me. I mean, we've heard all of our lives, you're made in the image of God, but this time I saw it. I saw it visually, you know, divine mind stamping me, imprinting me with this perfectness. I am a spiritual being who is imprinted perfectly, and so are you. But if I'm imprinted perfectly, how is it that what I see in the mirror, or what you may see of me, may be different? Well, it's like what Charles said. Many times we don't do such a good job with our development. If I take a picture of a beautiful mountain, and it is spectacular, and I develop that picture, and I overdevelop it, I underdevelop it, I handle it in a way that doesn't work, what I'm looking at looks nothing like what I saw. Sometimes we are distorted, and we don't look anything like our perfect imprinting, do we? So I want to talk about what the developer is for us as spiritual beings having a human experience. And my helper here is going to pass out something to you, and my other helper in the back is going to also put it up on the board for us to take a look at. Now I have to give credit to Jackie Compton, who actually put this together a few months ago and gave it to me as a gift. And I loved it so much, I thought, I've got to have this in a lesson. This is very, very good. So thank you, Jackie, for your talents and sharing those with us.
Thank you.
take a look at this handout. Don't forget Brian over here. So the left side we're going to look at, that would be the negative side of the I am thinking, and the right side would be the positive side of the I am thinking. And what I would like to do is have an experience here that you help me with. I would like to start with the left side, and I would like to say the first line, have you repeat the second line, I do the third, you do the fourth, and so on. Okay? Got it?
Yep.
When I say, I am tired,
I am poor.
When I say, I am poor,
I deserve my abundance.
When I say, I am discouraged,
I refuse my faith.
When I say, I am fearful,
I victimize myself.
When I say, I am angry,
I hide away.
When I say, I am lonely,
I despair in separation.
So then if you look at the person on the left that's in the same color, by doing those I am statements, what do we end up with? We end up with a person who feels helpless, restless, ashamed, numb, lonely, hurt, afraid, sad, empty, confused, angry, and so on. But then, you know, Charles talks a lot in his writings about being in the right, doing right thinking. So if we look at the right side of the page, when I say I am enthusiastic,
I charge myself with zeal.
When I say I am prosperous,
I quiet abundance.
When I say I am uplifted,
I acknowledge spirit in action.
When I say I am love,
I bless the world.
When I say I am happy,
I open myself to joy.
When I say I am connected,
I embrace my relationships.
And then, correspondingly, we turn into a person who is peaceful, energetic, proud, thankful, hopeful, relaxed, playful, calm, happy, and so forth. All right, because in unity, we are affirmation kind of people. We're going to affirm these last two sentences on the bottom. Together, standing in truth, I move from fear to faith. Today, I choose who I am. Good job. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
That's really nice.
I'm not one for plugging books as a general rule, but I ran into this one that I just hacked a plug. This was originally written in 1999 by James Gaither. The title of it is The Essential Charles Fillmore, A Guide to Practical Mysticism and Metaphysics. And you can purchase this from Unity. I think Amazon also carries it. But it has been recently revised and re-released. And the revision part of it, or at least a big part of the revision, was that Ellen Davenport, who wrote the five principles, worked with him on this. The first edition, if you have it, was good. It was very good. But it is so much more polished off. And it's just, what I love about it for me is, it's hard sometimes to remember what Charles's world was at the time he wrote what he wrote. Just like the photography, right? Mm-hmm. You know, when we read about the photography, we're thinking digital. No, that's not the world he lived in. So when we have a picture of what it was at that time, it makes it a little easier to understand where he was coming from. And they do that in this book. They explain, they kind of, you know, explain it. This was written in such and such, and this was what was going on at the time, and this is why he, you know, wrote what he did. So in this book, I ran across something that kind of fit in with this lesson. He says, all sin Okay, stop there. What does Charles, how does Charles Fillmore define sin? Anybody?
Erroneous thinking.
I heard missing the mark. I heard error thinking. Both are correct. Now, here's your big test question. What does Butterworth say sin stands for? Self-induced nonsense. Isn't that the truth? All right, let me go back. All sin, sickness, trouble, poverty, disease, and death originate in the mind. They can be permanently healed only by regulating that point of departure. Every thought registers itself with unerring accuracy in the body. You are a walking picture flashed by the camera of your mind into visible manifestation. Sounds a lot like that song you just did for us. What are your prayers, right? There's a couple of other things that I ran across about the I Am that I felt like were worth sharing. One is from Margaret Pounders. She was a well-known, I guess she still is, I don't think she's passed away, a well-known Unity minister, and she has a book titled Laws of Love. And she says, quote, "Anything less than perfection attached to the I Am is missing the holiness with which you are entrusted." And Charles Fillmore, in his book, Talks on Truth, says this, "Your I Am is that which carries you up or down to heaven or hell, according to the idea to which you have attached to it." Are your I Am statements carrying you up, or are they carrying you down? Are you creating heaven on earth or hell on earth? How is your development of the I Am? Because that I Am is the development, right? That's where the magic happens, in our dark room. Does it look anything like your divine imprint and the truth of who you are? So I hope today you leave here and remember this, that you are made in the image of God, that your soul is imprinted with all the attributes of the divine. This is the truth, as Burnett would say in her classes with a capital T. You are the developer, and you have a choice on how you want your picture to be developed. You know, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" I lost my place, sorry about that. And so the question that I'm asking you today is, who do you say that you are with your I Am statements? In preparation for meditation, I'm going to do something a little bit different today. I know that you guys usually do the Lord's Prayer before meditation, and I am going to do the Lord's Prayer. However, I'm going to do the Lord's Prayer that has been translated directly from the Aramaic language. Aramaic is believed to be the language that Jesus spoke. It was the language that was the common language in Galilee during the time of Jesus. And I'm just going to kind of start the meditation off with that. If you decide that you like what you hear and you like the Aramaic version, then I gave some copies to Sarah that you're more than welcome to get copies from her. Okay, so let's just try to get a little centered here. Plant your feet on the ground. That's holy ground. Because you're standing there, you're sitting there, and you're holy. Just take a breath and let out anything that you brought with you that maybe you just want to let go of. Maybe you started focusing on something that maybe didn't start your day off right. Just let it go. And this is the Lord's Prayer from the Aramaic translation. Beloved Father, who fills all realms, may you be honored in me. Let your divine rule come now. Let your will come true in all the universe, in the heavens and on earth. Give us all that we need for each day, and untangle the knots of unforgiveness that bind us within, as we also let go of the guilt of others. Let us not be lost in superficial things, but let us be free from that which keeps us from our true purpose. From you comes all rule, the strength to act, and the song that beautifies all from age to age. Amen. Now, if you can just stay in that centered place, go to that heart place. Go where you feel when there's a decision to be made, that alarm will go off. That's your space. That's that knowingness, that guide within. And envision your imprint. Claim it. Know it. Believe it. That imprint of the divine that is perfect, full of love. Go to that place. And in the silence, connect with that place so that you can remember your true essence, your true spiritual essence. And remember, at any time, day or night, you can reconnect to that. You can remind yourself of who you are so that you can be developed correctly. You can outpicture God, the essence of God. You may be the only picture that people see of the Holy One. You may be the face of God to somebody. So you want your development to be correct. So when you're ready, just bring that knowingness with you as you come back to us here in the sanctuary. And know at any time, anywhere, you can connect to your true spiritual essence. We are so grateful to have that imprint. And for that, and we say, amen.
You might know that everybody might know this song. You're the face of God. You are the face of God. I hold you in my arms. You are a part of me. You are the face of God. You are the face.
You are a part of me.